By far, one of the most troublesome actions of Christians today is how we are not taking those things that are serious seriously. There have been a lot of things that have been placed in our culture that we just accept. We've allowed man to give us passes on things that God clearly stated was wrong. There's a major problem with this, and we need to grasp and understand why this is. We're going to pick one of those things that people tend to take and just bypass over it. And I'm going to show you how they bypass with many other things as well. And then we're going to break down how serious this thing is. We're going to talk about, and the name of this order of my steps, is hypocrisy. Now, a hypocrite from the Greek word means an actor under an assumed character. So in other words, when you're an actor, that person on stage is playing somebody else. So it's not really them. And some are very convincing. And that's not a good thing in the walk we call life. Hypocrites are recognized by their distorted purposes, as we're about to see. How we mess it up is when we say things like, well, everybody's a hypocrite. Right? We talked about this in a Bible study, and it brought it to an alarm to me that I must present this order of my steps again. Because if we miss it, we're going to continue doing it, unfortunately, is what we're doing. We're continuing these processes that the Bible clearly goes against. And remember, the outcome is not going to be good. I know in humans, we watch people do wrong and we give them a pass because they're only human is what we say. None of that's in the Bible. You know, I know I can continually talk about the story of Uzzah, but it's not just Uzzah. We see it with other people and groups in the Bible in which the meaning well, when I have full access to the being well, is unacceptable. And of course, it's going to be paid for. And in our same sense, with us living a hypocritical life, I don't know how that's going to be answered to God. Hypocrites are recognized by their distorted purpose. So as we go through this, pay close attention. And if this is you, you need to eliminate it immediately. In their good deeds, you'll see them distorting what the purpose of the good deeds are. Every Christian, everything we do has to glorify God. But when you see a hypocrite react in their good deeds, we see in Matthew 6, verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do. So he's making very clear. This is what hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets. Watch this. To be honored by men. So they're coming off as this godly person, while in reality they want honor from men. He says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. There are more of these that when they get around people, man, their Christian needs and their Christian actions really go off. But people know them as being mean, as being emotional, as being angry, as being two-faced. You see them reacting in a different way from people who really get to know them. Excuse me. But they have no problem with displaying something that's really not true. We see this also when they pray. Matthew 6, verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like, watch this, the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Now, I'm not saying everybody who prays and they're eloquent and they're praying and they're very poetic with their praying, but many of them like you to be in the wow. Did you hear what they said? And a lot of times you'll discourage those people who can't put words together and instead of allowing them pray. We see the template for praying. As long as that's covered, you're doing great. Instead of somebody coming to you with the world and give you their description of what great prayer is, and a lot of it is just a lot of nonsense. He says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. A lot of them, because of their purpose to wow other people, that prayer went nowhere. That's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is not living to the purpose that they're supposed to. They like to look the part instead of being the part. A lot of people love to be called Christian. In fact, they would fight somebody if they ever said you are not a Christian. And we know them immediately. We know them by their fruit. We know them by all their actions, and the Bible shows us that. And what's hard is when somebody goes in defense of somebody whose fruit is bad because they like them. Okay, now you're supporting the hypocrite when you do that, and it causes confusion. And watch what he says in Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, and remember, you never want to be on the other side of a woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. So he's talking about these people who were the religious standard. They were the ones people were supposed to look up to. And we have a lot of people today who are in the same mode, in which people are to look up to them because they are the religious standard. But he's saying, no, they were hypocrites. And he explains why. For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish. So in other words, man, you'll put on suits, you'll look sharp, you make sure everything about you is sharp, what you drive, how you talk, you like to look the part. But inside, remember, it's inside what makes us unclean. They are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You'll watch them, how they act, how they react. They'll create organizations that fit their agenda, not godliness. They'll push certain situations, and you'll see them be very biased. They'll support one, and they'll put down another, even though they're equal. But they pick the ones they like, the self-indulgence. They'll steal from people. How do you steal as a hypocritical person trying to teach? If I only teach what I want you to know, what I want you to know, I'm stealing from you the truth. Now, you're still held accountable because you should be checking everything. But I've seen some very false teachers get up there, and people follow their teachings. And it puts you in a very, very hypocritical mode. But man, on the outside, man, they're just a person who follows the gospel and all this other stuff. We see it again in Matthew 23:27-28. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, once again, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful. Did you see that? Okay, it's the appearance, because I want to get those who are living by sight. Keep that in mind, okay? Because if we walk by faith, I'm always checking with God on what to look for. If I'm walking by sight, I go off of my own opinion of what I think they are. He said, but inside, they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. Have you ever gone through a graveyard? And some of those stones are amazing, art, beautiful looking. Do you understand that? But you know, if we dug it up, the stuff you would see, downright disturbing and dirty. He says in verse 28, so you too outwardly appear righteous to men. Appear righteous to men. And it's hard, because I still hear Christians who will call people righteous, but they don't have the spiritual way of proving it. I had a discussion with somebody concerning this one time about somebody, and when I brought up the things that we should be disturbed about, they gave me that other thing that we tend to do, but they're only human. They're only human. Here's the problem. If I slip up and I use my humanity as the excuse, I need to repent. Do you understand that? That is not an excuse. That is an issue. Right? They appear righteous. I just want you to think I'm righteous. But remember, the Bible says God cannot be mocked. But he makes clear, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. They do things that fit their agenda. Look at the Christians today. Look at those that call themselves liberal Christians. They will support sin to make people think it's good. They'll help people, but they'll help them beyond or under what God says. Look at the conservatives. They follow more man-made laws, but there's a lot more hate and separation. There's a lot more following other agendas and not following God. They'll get mad at one sin, but man, they'll support other sins. Do you see this problem? That's the hypocrisy. That's the lawlessness. Why aren't we seeing this? Why do we tend to still support those things, not realizing it's putting us in a very bad position? So let's recognize hypocrisy and hypocrites. This is how we do it. Hypocrites can see worldly signs clearly, but tend to miss the true message of God. One way we have gotten people today is we keep presenting the worldly concerns, the worldly worries. We see the finances. We see problems that are happening in the world today. And in many cases, you may be right. I've heard people who want to scare people into changing their lives by giving them, do you see the signs of finance, or do you see the signs of the weather, or do you see, and these are things, there's some accuracy to it, and we get caught up in stuff that we have no control over. He explains this in Luke 12, 54 through 56. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. Do you understand that? And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. So those things are true. And you'll hear them say things. And once again, by sight, you'll be in awe. And you'll start following them. They could teach you anything. And a lot of times, they're right by how you see it. But look what he hits you with in 56. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? The things that we're in, the Bible sets us up, and you hear me continue to give you what he said, and it's clear to us spiritually when we see in 2 Timothy 3, these are perilous times or dangerous times, right? Horrible times. How come we can't see that when he's explained it to us clearly? The self-centeredness of people. Go read that complete dialogue of the end-time people and how terrible they are, and that's exactly what you see. And how come we're not acting as Christians are, but instead we're participating in it? 2 Timothy 4 even shows us how we are distorting churches. We're demanding what's to be preached, and why aren't we questioning it? We'll say groups are preaching the gospel, and the question you have to ask is, are they? Oh, they have no problem preaching sections of it, just so you can say, oh, they preach this. It happens all the time. I'll hear sermons, and they'll give a nice, solid part of it, but they'll fill it with a lot of traps, distortions. And if you're not careful, you'll fall for it. Hypocrites will pick Hypocrites sees righteousness only based on how they see it, not on what God says. The biggest way you'll know a hypocrite is take two sins. One they like, one they dislike. Now watch how they act towards the one they like. They'll give it a pass. Our God's a forgiving God. They'll bring in grace. They won't say anything about it. When they see somebody do that sin as well, right? And doesn't even have to be the sin, it could be the person. But the other side, man, they condemn that group to hell. That group is the most horrible thing, and God hates this, is what they'll do. He shows this once again in Luke 13, 15 through 16. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his donkey or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? So they were talking about the Sabbath day, and these people were kind of, he did good on the Sabbath, and they beat him up because of it. Verse 16 says, then should not the woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Do you see how we can do that? We're very good at picking something that seems like, well, I got to feed my donkey. God knows that is what we'll do. And everybody go, yeah, amen. But then we'll pick something because we don't like how it makes us look, or we don't like that it doesn't fit our agenda. Wow, I can't believe you did that. It's never failed. I never found one of those self-righteous people that like to point out other people's sin, not sinning. It doesn't exist. How they treat people, they actually push more people away than they bring people towards them. Hypocrites will pick and choose what is important and what is not instead of just obeying God. You'll see an inconsistency. You may bring it to their attention. I've had to do this with many hypocrites where they'll tell me, did you see blah, blah, blah? And I'll go, yeah, yeah. But what about this other one? They'll go, yeah, yeah, you're right. Do you understand it? But why did you just bring this one up to me? How come you only expand and show this part of it, but this other thing that's happening in the same way, why aren't you showing and putting light to that as well? You were really harsh on this part. Matthew 23, verse 23, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill in common, Okay, so they're giving tithe, to give 10% of these riches that they have, okay? He says, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done, watch this, without neglecting the others. You'll have one group that will help the poor, but they'll allow people to live in a wrong lifestyle, which is gay marriage. You have other people that will defend babies in abortion, but they'll treat the alien and other rich and other races very bad against loving others as you love yourself. They both go together. The first part, amen. And also all they highlight until somebody raises their hand is, but what about this? What are you doing with this? Hypocrites. And what are these hypocrites on the other end of a woe? I know some people will say, well, Pastor, it's no big deal. We've got caught up in something. And God knows our heart. Exactly. Hypocrites see others, other people's issues without recognizing their own. Right? The constant thing of being a Christian is examining yourselves through God. I think we don't like doing that. I'm sorry. I know we don't like doing that. If we did, we'll go to something to hear the truth. Usually we go someplace to hear how what I'm going through is natural and normal. I want to feel okay about what I am doing and am not doing. In Matthew 7:1-5, he gives very clear, do not judge or you too will be judged. Okay, now, that's where some people just read that one part and they stop there. Once again, that's those people who are not reading sound doctrine, they look for something to fit them. They'll say, doesn't the Bible say don't judge? Yes, it does. You continue reading. He said, for in the same way you judge others. And he didn't say that you judge others. It's how you judge others. You will be judged. So these people that we're calling evil, and they may be so, and your basis may even be because the Bible said, and that may be right, but when you're doing things that's on another standard, but still sinning, what you're saying to them is pointing right back at you. He made very clear, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if I'm condemning them to hell for sinning, I better not be sinning, or guess what? I'm condemned to hell. Isn't that scary? Where's the reverence of us going, wait a minute, let me be very careful how I handle this. This is why we don't judge to condemn. Do you know those people? Only time we do you know those people is when it's clearly given to us and you got to warn the congregation. But you better be right. If I give character assassination through lies and through what people have done throughout history, oh man, are we doomed. However, when you know and you clearly see a group is doing something, you have to warn. That means I have to be alert in the Lord in order to do this. Y'all see how that works? Right? So saying the wrong thing is wrong. Saying nothing is wrong. He said, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How do I stay safe from that? I only give you what the Bible says. So if I see a group always giving you stuff in the Bible mixed with, and I can prove it and I can show it to you, and it's a consistent part of their organization, then I can clearly go, it's against God's word because it mixes. Do you see how I did that? So now, if I'm doing the same thing, I'm just as doomed. So I'm hoping it wakes me up. He asked the question in verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? I think we could be more helpful to others if we truly approach others, letting them know we're honest with ourselves. I've heard people say things about people that's 100% right, but that person who's saying it is just as bad, if not worse, than the other person. So you're of no help to that person. There was a gentleman who was a health enthusiast, and you would see him work out and aerobic stuff. Man, he did a great job, but he smoked and he drank heavily. And people would go, how am I following this guy? Even though the exercises and some of the things he was saying was excellent. So in the same way as Christians, if you're an over-emotional Christian, if you're a very look-at-you Christian, there's a problem. Because are you doing what he says, but are you always constantly seeing what others are doing wrong? He says, why do you look at what they're doing wrong and pay no attention to the plank in your own eyes? Remember, this is not just the action. This is the how you see it. How you see it. Organizations on the world are created for giving me a point of view. Pay close attention to this. If I embrace their point of view, okay, and I don't use it, measuring it by God, I'm going to now have a wrong point of view, even though it'll make me look at other point of views and tell you how wrong they are. Once again, Satan couldn't care less as long as I am pushing that the other point of view is bad. That means I'm not paying any attention to how I see things when I'm bashing how you see things. When I finally understood this in my life, it opened up my eyes that when I see somebody do wrong, the first thing I do is, Keith, how are you doing the same thing? Time after time after time, it taught me. And it allowed me, when I'm talking to them, to show me. Let me tell you what I did and how it's so wrong. And I'm concerned about you. See how that works? Then me going, I've seen what you were doing, and I'm concerned about you, and I want to help you. The whole time they're staring at you, going, but wait a minute. And I told you that simple cowardly of, I know I do wrong, but that's just what we call the coward's way out. We don't want to do that. We want to put us out there. That's why he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? If you have a bad point of view and you're going after my bad point of view, my fear is you're going to just try to give me your bad point of view. But if you come and show me, I'm going to show you how bad my point of view is. And I'm going to show you how bad your point of view is. And then we're going to go to Christ to see the right point of view. That's what we should be doing, but it's not happening. We still keep allowing our point of view to get in the way. And that's why he ends it in verse 5 with, you hypocrites. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. First change how you see things, and then you will clearly see. If you remove, then you'll be able to help. And I see people when they talk about others through their own point of view, but their point of view gets in the way. They always were taught, this is good, this is bad. Not from the Bible. So when they beat you up, it's only going to go what goes against them, not what goes against God. He says, then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Then we could talk point of view, because all you're going to hear me speak of is God's point of view, walking truly by faith. Hypocrites don't worship God wholly and pleasing, but worship in their own beliefs and traditions. Pay close attention to how we've turned worshiping God into an action and a routine that man just goes through. And that's why you have different churches that do it. You go to certain churches that like to express it through shouting and dance, because the Bible, they do that. Excellent. You have some that have musics of different forms. They put it out there. Amen. Praise God. They can do that as well. But that's where it ends. You understand that? Worshiping God requires, remember he says, must we worship him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that what God made clear? Okay, so those two elements must exist. So just because the sound sounds like, right, just because it sounds the way people have taught you as being a spiritual sound, it still doesn't make it spiritual. And is it based on truth? Matthew 15, 3-9 says, Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? It's a basic thing. I go to some churches and I'm watching them do some things that are not in God's word. However, they'll be firm to it, right? That, man, if you don't do that, they think you're not Christian. We're coming up on Christmas, and you have some people who, man, they'll stand the ground, and they'll fight. These are people you may never see in church, have nothing to do with Christ, but if you say Mary, and they put an Xmas versus Mary Christmas, because you're taking the Christ out of Christmas, the question you have to ask is, where in the Bible was Christ ever put in Christmas? Now, I'm sure they're going to give you a whole lot of things of how some man created this, and this man was holy. We always allow man and things from history. Instead of, what did I say in God's word? Please show me how I'm taking Christ out of it. Because me taking a word out of it, amen, has nothing to do with what I'm truly doing worshiping him. Does Christmas really show in what we're doing the truth, the spirit and truth of God? No, there's a spirit of Christmas, but I hate to say it, that's very worldly. There's a spirit of Christ that exists throughout the entire lifetime. He says, verse 4, for God said, honor your father and mother. He's given an example. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Okay? It was a command that God made very clear to them. They all knew about it. How you treated your mother and father was extreme. Do you understand this? But as we see today, they got some political people who wanted money. So in order to get more money, they distorted what God said. That's not the disturbing part. Disturbing part is people followed them. That's why he says in verse 5, but you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You made up something else that sounds godly instead of following what is godly. Do you see that? Very, very common practice. You'll smile when you see things that look godly instead of making sure that it is godly. So, of course, he says in verse 7, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Make sure this is not you also. You have some people, man, that know the right thing to say. These people honor me with their lips. They'll know exactly how to do that part of it. But, watch this, their hearts, which is your purpose, are far from me. And then in turn, in verse 9, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. This is why I hesitate when somebody goes to answer something godly, and they start using man in history. The only time they could do that is to give some clarity. But when they do it to answer, I'm very, very concerned. And a lot of Christian answers we have are from cultural leaders, not even spiritually cultural leaders. We allowed some men or some organizations to go, yeah, we'll accept this. Yeah, we'll accept that. Here's a big warning. And all this is a warning, but here's a big warning in here. Teachings of hypocrites is the reason many are misled. Now, this goes for those who are taught by them, because what Jesus doesn't just say is put them all in jail, make them all burn. It's not your fault. Watch what he says in Luke 12, verse 1. He says, meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, now watch what he says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. What he's saying is there's a lot of organizations and ministers that are going to teach things that if I don't check it solidly with God's word, I'm going to be living as a hypocrite who's taught by a hypocrite. A lot of these organizations that are out here that carry certain names and people honor and worship those names and make sure they want to be part of that name, a lot of their foundations and teachings are off when it comes to God's word. How do you deal with that? It's a shame when I see somebody who's not a Christian who use the Bible against a Christian. And then the Christian just kind of gets mad at them instead of going, no, let me show you solidly what the word says. Hypocrisy is acting under an insincere part, deceit and concealment, right? You're really not. Once again, you're just playing a part. You're not serious about it. So we may say, okay, it's a trait that man has held on to. It's no big deal. We're going to be okay. But are we, if we live as hypocrites? Living as hypocrite is a path to hell and leads others to hell. Let's see that. Matthew 23:13-15. He says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, once again, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. For you do not enter in yourselves. A lot of these organizations that we call Christian organizations do not have Christian foundation. Oh, they have traditional foundation. They have country foundation. They love their cultural foundation. Oh, but it's not fully biblical. How do you know, Pastor? Check some of the things they put out there and measure it to the word of God. Watch how these organizations treat everybody. Very clearly, you'll see it. And that's what he says. You're not going to heaven, and you're not allowing those who are entering to go in as well. verse 14. So he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers, and therefore you will receive greater condemnation." They go after some of the most vulnerable people and use them as the example. Do you understand that? They're the example. Once again, us weak people, instead of going, "I don't think we're supposed to treat those people that way," we go, "Well, if that's what the leadership says, and you don't think you'll be held accountable by God, and like you said, you will receive greater condemnation." Here we thought all condemnation was the same. He said, "No, no, no, no. These organizations, the leaders of it, their condemnation is going to show another level of hell." He says in verse 15, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte." And what that means is a convert. They were this, now you made them this, okay? And I remember when I was younger, one way they told us is, "I have to somehow get them to say, I receive Jesus Christ in my heart, and then I won." And then they introduced and made sure they forced eternal security. They can't get turned back. Not realizing what I described to them and fooled them or tricked them into doing, I might even say a prayer with them, and they have no clue, is now they're on the path insisting that they're Christian, and no fruit has adjusted or changed. Nothing has changed in them. And I don't say anything to them. I go, no, they said it to me. Because I just want to convert and say, "This man converted 100 people today. Isn't that great?" He says, "And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." They'll end up joining the organization. They'll follow the ways of the organization. They'll do things based on the organization, not based on God. I've seen people in these organizations who will uphold and call them godly men because they're very loyal to the organization. If they were loyal to God and they watched some of the things these organizations were doing, they'll go, "Wait, the Bible doesn't say that." You'll see them leaving in droves. Doesn't happen. And yes, they're doomed. Matthew 24:51, just to make sure you understand, very clear about hypocrites. "He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place," watch this, "with the hypocrites." If there was any doubt, if you said, "Well, you're reading too much into the other passage," he said, "assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And we know that as being hell. Even though you have some intellectuals, they even try to change that. We're killing ourselves doing something and allowing something because we say everybody does it that we should be very firm and vigilant against. We're just passively allowed. Hypocrisy is what all Christians are to rid themselves of. 1 Peter 2:1-3 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of." This should be part of when you read these certain instructions on what I'm supposed to do that now I have the ability is to get rid of. He says, all Christians, this should be non-existent. You should not see this in me if I'm a Christian. All malice, all deceit. Deceit is a form of hypocrisy because I'm saying something that is really a lie because I'm missing another half. I'm only giving you half truths. Hypocrisy, very clearly, envy and slander of every kind, like newborn babies. Watch what he says. Every Christian crave pure spiritual milk. We don't say that word enough. You remember in Titus where it says if a person's not pure, he's corrupt. It's just two parts. I can't be less impure. Poison is poison. Right? Some you may violently die, and the other one you just may die, but they're both going to kill you. Pure spiritual milk is only give me what the word says. Anytime somebody approaches me and gives me some dissertation or something that some man wrote or what they've learned, I hear it. And then I make sure, is it in the God's word? If it's not, there's a problem. So when you hear crave pure spiritual milk, you will demand sound doctrine. If that happens, he says, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted the Lord is good. Many Christians are struggling today with living as Christians because what they were fed is not pure. You have more Christians that are depressed, more Christians that are dabbling in things they have no business dabbling in, more Christians who are giving up. Why? Because their form of Christianity is not pure. So to avoid all forms of hypocrisy, all Christians must be what's called genuine and sincere in the Lord. That's actually easy to do. What makes it hard is we don't want to do it. That's me. Anytime you hear somebody say, man, this is hard. Yeah, it's hard because I don't want to do it. It's going to take me out of my fleshly comfort zone. But here's the answer. True sincerity is in God only. Now, I'm explaining what that means. Have somebody ever did something to you and you were very hurt by it? And until you feel otherwise, your forgiveness or your version of forgiveness is very limited. Your reaction to them is more retaliation and is fully based on how hurt you were. Right? You stick firm on, you really hurt me. I'm really hurt by it. Me, me, me. And I get it. We've all been there. We all probably are there. But he says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relation with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. So there's two aspects. Excuse me. There are two aspects of having his holiness, which is only from him. I can't call something holy because I think it's holy. It's going to come directly from him. You're going to know it through God's word. All right. And sincerity that are from God. When it says sincerity, I don't forgive you because I feel it. I forgive you because he said it. True sincerity means I even go against me. I'm going to love you even when I don't feel it. I'm going to be there for you even when I don't want to. And how I'm going to be there is going to be fully based on God. The consistency that's going to be there is going to be fully based on God. That's what he said. They're from God. We have done so not according, watch this, to worldly wisdom. So I can't have somebody going, well, I heard what he did to you and I really understand, blah, blah, blah. And they give you some reason to sin. They don't go, yeah, but the Bible says you got to forgive them. I've had people many times who tried to convince me, let me tell you the story of what they did. And it's horrendous. But I don't find anything that says, but this thing, other than the unpardonable sin, saying something bad knowingly about the Holy Spirit, there's nothing unforgivable. This person took it upon themselves to go, I was really hurt. And God sees that. He said, vengeance is mine. He will repay. It's his. That's all worldly wisdom when they try to give you exceptions. He said, but according to God's grace. That's why it's called grace. No, they don't deserve it. But I'm going to give it because God gave it to me. And God said, I'll handle the rest. So in order for us to have true access to that genuine sincerity, we have to completely be obedient to God, which once again, those people have used it as nobody could do this. We're only human, even though he says in 1 Peter 1:22, watch this, pay close attention. Now that you have purified yourselves by doing what? By obeying the truth. Not just obeying, but what are you obeying? The truth. I've had ministers, because they're ministers, tell me to do something and tell me to be obedient. But the minute I seen the thing they told me to do go against God's word, if I would have followed them, I would have been disobedient. Think about that. There are many of you in the name of religion who are doing things that you've always done based on what some man said, but I can clearly show you in the Bible what you're doing is wrong, which makes you not obedient. And if you're not obedient, then you're impure. Y'all with me? Right? It says, purify yourselves by obeying the truth. Purify yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love another deeply from the heart. When I 100% follow God's word, I can clearly see a lot of things that Christians are doing in the name of God that are not in the name of God. Let's pay attention to this. I would love to have discussions on this using God's word. Like I said, the only thing that can adjust or have see the right thing is what God says. Don't fall into these cliches and these things that men are doing today that they're going to have to answer for. If we truly glorify God, let's make sure we are glorifying him correctly. Stop being hypocrites. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity to come together in your name, for allowing this teaching from you, dear God, to come across. Please allow and have us check everything to make sure it's not coming from me, but it's solidly in your word, that we recognize these warnings and these things that you placed in our hearts and that we reverently live them. We want to make sure that we're being used by you in the right way and that we're not corrupting it by ourselves. So help us, dear God, to walk in your ways at all time, to live a life that shines a light to bring others to you and to encourage those in the body. We glorify you with our lives and love you so much, dear Lord, and thank you for your mercy and your grace. And all these things we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.